This is Fresh Air. Our rock and roll historian, Ed Ward, has a profile of Wynonie Harris, whose style of blues singing influenced the early days of rock and roll.
Hold back the dawn. Stop all the clocks. I just got the news that my baby wants to rock. All she wants to do is rock. All she wants to do is rock. All she wants to do is rock, rock and roll all night long. My baby don't go for fancy clothes, high-class dinner and picture shows. All she wants to do is stay at home and huckle buck with daddy all night long. All she wants to do is rock. All she wants to do is rock.
Back in the late 40s, when rock and roll was a baby, the most dangerous music you could listen to was blues. Not the kind of blues we've become accustomed to today with a guy and a guitar, but the kind that was shouted by a big black man in front of a big black orchestra. Polite people would never admit to listening to it, and a big part of the reason for this was Wynonie Mr. Blues Harris.
Hey, boys! Did you hear that noise? Did you hear that thunder sound? That noise.
Well, Mr. Blues is coming to town. Get your business straight. Mr. Blues is coming to town. Get your business straight. Mr. Blues is coming to town. You've got to stop that jive that you've been putting down.
Wynonie Harris was born in Omaha, Nebraska, but boy, he sure didn't advertise that fact. He'd rather you thought of him as the star vocalist of the Lucky Millinder Orchestra, the man whose battles of the blues filled the Club Alabama and Watts past its 900-seat capacity, the vocalist whose only living peer was his idol, Big Joe Turner, who he sounds a lot like on Tremblin'.
I ain't gonna tell nobody I'll never love again, 'cause now I found a girl that's got me going in a spin. She keeps me trembling. When she tells me I'm sweet, I tremble all the way down to my feet. She turned the light down low the first time we met, and then she gave me something that I never will forget. She had me trembling. Yes, I was trembling. Love must be real.
He'd want you to think of him as Wynonie Harris, drinker of whiskey, lover of women, and all of that was true. He was the last of the great blues shouters, although Big Joe Turner outlived him. For my money, he was a rootsier, gutsier singer than Jimmy Rushing, and had a more powerful delivery than Roy Brown or Eddie Cleanhead Vinson. But he was working in a musical neighborhood nobody wanted to admit they visited, where you sang about whiskey and how good it made you feel, or recorded songs about women like Rose, Get Your Clothes, or, in perhaps his best-remembered shocker, bragged about how all the women loved his big 10-inch record of the band that plays the blues. But as embarrassed as people may have been by this tall, handsome man with the big, gruff voice, there's one thing about him that everybody concedes, albeit reluctantly. And that is that one record he made in 1948 changed rock and roll history by becoming one of its biggest classics.
Rockin' tonight. So meet me in the alley behind. away all my blues. Have you heard the news? They're good at rockin' tonight. Rock, rock.
He wasn't even the first to record Good Rockin' Tonight. Roy Brown, who wrote it, was. But it was Wynonie Harris' version of the song that young Elvis Presley bought and memorized. As the 50s progressed, this kind of blues shouting faded away. Wynonie didn't successfully record rock and roll like Big Joe Turner did. He wound up running a tavern in Brooklyn, and then lived in Los Angeles, where he'd once been a star. In 1959, he was dying of throat cancer, but he got a cab driver buddy to run him down the strip one last time, stopping in each of the old joints for one drink, then moving on. He was 56 when he died that June. Another 10 years and he would have been rediscovered by a new generation. Instead, they played his records and heard his voice asking if they'd heard the news. There's good rockin' tonight.
Fresh Air's rock and roll historian Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll. He also writes for the Austin Chronicle.